It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Or is it, oh no! Hopefully everybody did well in the heat.
It's our pets' heads are falling off.
Well,
look, I'm going to tell you right
they're
now, as a San Franciscan native, and I know you could feel me on this, we don't have air conditioning, all right?
No.
We don't have pools.
Get a humidifier.
I need the fog in the worst way.
Well, you know what? My complex has a pool, and it was great because Chez and Anna and the Paris, they were able to go up to the pool. Now I had the house to myself. And the Niners on the big screen. Sunday ticket on my laptop. And by the way, YouTube TV did a great job yesterday. I had baseball and football on. Combo platter. Ooh-wee.
The only combo platter I'm looking to have is a sushi combo platter. I am starving right now. But, Bonte, I'm telling you right now, it was a horrible weekend for me as a sports fan.
No, it was a great weekend for me. Let me tell you, it was a great weekend for me. And we're going to get back to the Rides.
Blew a 21-0 lead to
you know
SI.
What though? You know what, though? Credit to SI.
Cal lost a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter to Miami.
Hey, well, how would that have happened?
My baby didn't sleep for two straight days. Your boy got like a sinus thing yesterday. I was watching the game, sweating my you-know-what off, sitting on the bed, literally laying in bed, watching the Niners choke away another 10-point lead. It was a horrible weekend. Dodger fans are throwing things at Padres. What are you doing?
Well, shout out to Coach Miles Holmes at SI, defensive coordinator, and the head coach and the whole coaching staff. But Reardon looked like they were just throwing the ball up. Number 17 for Reardon. Who's the wide receiver's name? He looked like Randy Moss. He was bossing everybody. He was a beast.
He had a one-handed catch against Sigurd Hart the week before.
Well, Coach Holmes made a hell of an adjustment because Reardon, like the 49ers, didn't score a single point in the second half. So now to the Cardiac Kids. And I got to say, the Cardiac Kids are sagacious. I've watched them 2 weeks in a row now, very closely. We know about Hogan, the running back. That's my guy. Love Julius Hogan. He runs hard. What a big-time run there at the end of the game. Well, I'll tell you, this quarterback, Soren Hummel of Sacred Heart, or excuse me, sagacious. This kid he threw a bad pick right before halftime. Reardon almost throws a pick six, but Hogan showed a lot of heart. He chased him down like Dukowski tried against Green Bay, saved him for going up 28-3 at the half. But this Soren Hummel kid makes all the plays in the second half. I watched him 2 weeks in a row against Sarah and Reardon. Mr. Hummel, congratulations, sir. That's big time. Now, let me tell you, Saturday college football, then baseball, the Yankees, my Yankees, because that's who I'm rolling with in the playoffs.
He was out at second, but keep going.
The Yankees win. John Sterling, shout out to him.
My Yankees.
Big time win for
ridiculous.
Big time win for my Yankees.
Bonte.
My Yankees on Saturday. And then the Padres doing what they do yesterday. Watching Cal Miami hit the field. Shout out to Steven Domingo. Got the run of him, former SI guy. Went to Georgetown, basketball player. We chopped it up before the game. We was chopping up. He was telling me about analytics and how they're a joke. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Analytics are a joke. We use it like it's all. We're the smartest guys. Analytics been around forever. But watching Cal Miami. Miami down 25. That environment in Berkeley Memorial Stadium, it's never been rocking like that. I had the time of my life this weekend. Sports was sporting, all right? Sports was phenomenal. We didn't even talk about the WNBA. The two-time champs are out.
No,
Las Vegas Aces. Las Vegas Aces are done.
Look, I love
New York
you,
Liberty
no
and going
one.
To the finals.
No
all right? Everything's happening.
What
we just had Alcaraz and who's my boy?
Sinner.
The Sinner.
Now
had
you're
the
reaching.
Match no, I'm not reaching.
You
are. Sports was sporting. It was an unbelievable sports weekend. I had the time of my life this weekend.
You know what
time
I mean?
Time of my life. Shout out to Premier Limos for hooking up the ride on Saturday to Berkeley. Didn't have to drive. My boy Roderick, he's listening right now. My boy Roderick was chilling, smashing, had the playlist for all playlists on the way to the game. I'm like, this is going to be a great game. And you know what? It was a great game. Shout out to Cal.
You're
shout
a Florida
out to my
Miami fan.
I am, but I enjoy great sports. I wasn't rooting for Miami. I wasn't rooting for Cal. I was just rooting for great entertainment. And you know what, Shasky? I got great entertainment all weekend long. So this Monday morning, you can't bring me down.
Well,
you can't bring me down.
Your kicker is going to have, he's out for like 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, you know
they might have to call the kid and kick the game day, college game day thing. Is his distance longer than Wisnowski's in a game? Honest question. Could the kid who kicked the $900,000 or whatever it was field goal attempt, could he legitimately kick farther than Wisnowski in a game?
They
had to get down to the 15?
Spadoni.
I mean, you might as well just go for it anyway.
What does Bonte the businessman say? Businessman Bonte walked in with a strut this morning. Look at it. Business will be booming this morning. And it is. Because the Niners lost to the lowly Arizona Cardinals, who got smacked in the mouth by Washington the week before. Got 40 dropped on them by Jaden Daniels, who is balling right now. If I had an MVP list, short list for MVPs, it'd be Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold, and Jaden Daniels. That's my top three.
He also threw a red zone pick yesterday, but he was excellent.
So, who's that?
Jaden Daniels.
He bounced back in a major way.
He's excellent.
And Lamar was Lamar. He's now 6-1 against Joe Burrow. Put some respect on his name.
Cincinnati. Ugh.
Put some respect on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
But I think Cincinnati's a great example of a team that just doesn't look right. And from afar, not watching every moment, it's like, I don't really kind of want to hear from Cincinnati people. Like, now there's like a month plus of evidence. Could they turn it around? Sure, hypothetically they could. But they don't look right. I look at the Niners, and it's about a month or so worth of evidence, and we're like, yeah, they don't look right. I'm not saying that the season's over, and I'm not saying that they can't adjust and be a different kind of a team, but for me to think that they're going to be the juggernaut they were last year, that's out the window.
Well, not
for
only
me
that,
to think that, like, hey, getting a first-round bye and the number one seed, they're four games behind the Minnesota Vikings
right
now.
I'm not thinking about number one seed.
Like,
I'm not,
right nobody now, they need to just get back to 500.
Not only that. My boy Zucci, man, he reminded me, Comcast Business Text Line, about Lindy Waters III hit the game winner in Hawaii. Hawaii is the Warriors with their preseason opener. And I love the celebration. Yay. Oh, yeah. That's right, Spadoni. Pajiski dropping dimes.
The last time I heard about vibes being good to start the season, it ended up being the Hawaiian punch.
Shot you talking
I
to
mean,
me.
Come on.
You're bringing yourself down. You can't bring me down, Shasky. I'm on to the next.
My Niners that I thought were the closest to a Super Bowl.
Moses Moody.
Like, they're shooting themselves in the foot. That's a terrible analogy, given that we're trying to eliminate, dangerous weapon celebrations in the NFL. But my point being is that this team, like, it's like, okay, Jordan Mason's running at a great clip, and you march on down, and then he fumbles. It's like, oh, my God. Purdy was dynamic last week in terms of the long throws. This week, he's trying to go deep way too much, take the short stuff. Instead, he's holding the ball. Defense looks old and slow and no pass rush, and they can't cover. Offense looks erratic at best. One week, one guy's good, but three guys aren't. The next week, another guy's good, and three other guys aren't. It's all over the place.
Oh, my God, our pets answer. Falling off. Let's go to Vinucci. Vinucci, is your head falling off? Are you in situation critical? Where's your panic meter at right now, Vinucci?
Hey, let me tell you something. I am not feeling good this morning. Am I not already warned me before I got on the phone to make sure that I keep it about a 6 or a 7, but you know me, that I'm not going to keep it there. I'm taking it to a 10. But first off, before I even get to Shanahan, a shout out to my Dante Wiley and SI Wildcat football, baby. Ooh. Oh, baby, class 03 is feeling good, baby.
Oh, how about now, that comeback to Cardiac Cats? They're in play for a WCAL title. The Cardiac Cats, baby, is what we're calling them
that's
in the city
right,
these
baby.
Days.
Hey, that's right, baby. That's sunset love right there. Ooh. Now, here's the thing. I'm not pointing any more fingers but Shanahan here, because you know how I cook on him. You're talking about accountability? Damn you, Shanahan. I run my own damn business. And you know what? You don't want my people work hard for me, because I keep myself accountable. If I mess up, I look in the mirror and tell myself, hey, that was on me. And I let them know. I tell them to their face, it was on me. You know? And the thing is, look, it starts with you. It looks very similar on the Super Bowl losses and a Rams playoff losses, doesn't it? Blowing leads because you're stuck in your ways. Clock management, in-game management. We were there at the end of the first half. You had no sense of urgency, so when we got down to the red zone, we had no timeouts, and you were just stuck in a position to have to go ahead and throw three times. And then the other thing, too, look, your second half adjustments. You can't keep feeding the ball to Mason, who was averaging 7 yards a carry. You can't get juice involved. You can't keep keep eating. You rode Wilkes out of town. How's the defense looking now? That was you, because no way it could be your offense that was causing the issues and our Super Bowl losses. You control the roster, okay? No offensive line. Lack of depth on a difference maker on the defensive line. Your special team stinks, so you have to have your kicker there to sit there and cover up for crummy coverage. And then here are my adjustments. You know what? I hold myself accountable, and the thing is I'm always looking at adjustments. How can we improve? You know what? You're going to pay your quarterback $60 million to let him make adjustments at the line there. I'm tired of seeing him either rushing it because no one's there to protect him or sitting there having him get clobbered. Get rid of Campbell. Send him his walking papers. Get Winters in there. Get Green in there for Yadam. Because, my gosh, the fourth down play that he can't sit there and at least bat the ball down, I'm tired of Lufango, man. I love Lufango, but you know what? He's a step slow. Get Mustafa in there. Trade for a defensive lineman. And when Feliciano comes back, get the heck out of there, Brendel. You stink. And finally, hire someone, Shanahan, to help you with the clock management and in-game management. You know what? That's what Andy Reid did. That's what Andy Reid did when he had issues. And guess what? He's got three Super Bowls. Step up, Shanahan. Be accountable.
That's Verducci. He's gunning for that call of the week. That's what that was about. He wants that call of the week.
He might have locked it up right there.
By the way, we're going to have two shows this week. We're just going to be guest-free. Friday. We got a Thursday night game, folks. So what's going to happen Thursday can dictate how you go into the weekend on Friday. Ooh, baby.
The Niners do have a feel of, I called them before the Houston Rockets of the NFL, where it's like they're a great regular season team. And then stuff happens in the playoffs and they're just not the same. And this year it doesn't even feel like they're going to, you know, get all the way into the playoffs. There's a lot that's off right now, and it's been that way for a minute. And when you don't control the Patriots the way that we all thought that they could control them and finish them off, like I was feeling good. It's like, hey, we'll just take a win and let's build off it. And then you slip again this week. You got a game in three. You think Fred Warner's going to be better in 3 days playing?
Oh, boy.
Right? Like, this team already looks gassed. What a desperate game. I don't know. They're in a tough spot.
Hey, you know what, though? I'm going to be some sunshine today for a lot of people.
They're in a tough spot.
And I'm speaking with a smile on my face, because if you win Thursday, take a deep breath, get a mini bye, and you get ready for a Super Bowl rematch.
You sound like the person trying to sell me on the Giants being near 500.
No, I'm not selling you that at all. I'm not selling anything this morning. I'm telling you how I'm feeling.
I don't care if the record says.
Don't let the facts get in the way.
Let's say they win, right? And they go 3-3. Okay, fine. Fair enough, right? Like, I hear you. That's a one-and-done playoff team. Whoever's winning the West, it feels like this year, because the division is down, feels like a one-and-done playoff team.
Does Detroit look beatable?
I mean, right now, Detroit looks healthier than the Niners.
Yeah, but their defense is Swiss cheese.
They're not great.
All right? Minnesota right now is the best team in the NFC, but they showed some flaws yesterday. They showed some flaws yesterday. And Aaron Jones got to stay healthy. Yeah. If he doesn't stay healthy, Ty Chandler was fumbling the football yesterday. Darnold looked like the Darnold of old yesterday in London. So, I mean, look, let's be careful with Minnesota. Jay Daniels is a rookie quarterback for Washington. We'll see about them. Dallas, they're going to hang around, but we know Dallas does Dallas-type things, which is fumble the ball, throw the ball away. Philadelphia, we don't know about them.
Dallas.
So I'm going to sit here and say, look, if the Niners are playing their game and their defense has regressed, there's no doubt about that.
They're going to have to win until they beat an NFC opponent.
But yeah, listen, you win on Thursday, you beat an NFC opponent, you tie for first in the NFC West, and you get a mini bye. Those are the facts. I'm not going to let the facts get in the way of how we're feeling today. Those are the facts. How about this, though? Michael Silver wrote a column saying that something's off. Whatever's going on, something is off. Charvarius Moody Ward was quoted after the game with Michael Silver. He goes, this year for sure, it feels weird. It feels real, real weird. I mean, hopefully it'll turn around, but it's real peculiar.
What does that mean?
We've got a lot of talent, and we're losing games we're supposed to win. The weirdness theme was later echoed by Diamond Lenore, who had the 61-yard touchdown return on a blocked field goal. Yeah, losing to Arizona, it does feel weird. In my 4 years here, we don't do that often. So I can agree with that. So what's weird about the situation? Kyle Juszczyk was quoted in his article. You tell me we block a field goal for a touchdown, we're winning that game. I mean, it's weird. It's not like everything's fine, but it's also not like the world's crumbling. So that's their mindset moving into Thursday Night Football. You can cure a lot of things on Thursday by getting a win. But if you don't win on Thursday, which is a great possibility, going out there to Seattle, If you don't win out Thursday and you're 2-4,
the downfall is near and it's coming hard.
I'll say this: Friday's not going to be fun for a lot of people. Oh, going into that weekend with a great college football slate, people are going to be miserable watching football over the weekend if they lose on Thursday.
Kyle Juszczyk, I mean, just I have to be the highest paid fullback in the league.
Well,
zero
the
catches,
fullback.
Zero rushes yesterday, and one goof off as he's goofing off on the sidelines, kicking extra fake extra points into a net. My tolerance level for him and just hearing him is like at a zero. I just don't want to hear from him.
Why is that?
I just think why? He's just... I just don't want to hear from him. I mean, Brady said it on the broadcast. He's like, hey, look, man, I get that you want to run the fullback, but when you have, you know, Juwan Jennings on your roster, you should run more three wide receiver sets. I mean, this is one of the greatest players of all time who understands concepts and personnel and groupings and all those things
right.
and how to win games, and he's telling you what is going to help you win more games.
Well,
he's telling you, he's like, hey, either Kittle's got to come off the field or Juszczyk's got to come off the field because you got to get Jennings out there more. He's
right.
telling you, this is one of the greatest players ever.
Right.
Now, I would make the argument, hey, maybe Debo's the guy that you move eventually and this kind of sorts itself out and you could play all those guys, but your best 11 have to play. That's what Brady was getting at. And so,
is Kyle Juszczyk one of your best 11?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think Juwan Jennings is more important factor for this team. I think he does great things in the run game. They've obviously asked him totally different things in the run game.
Are people down on Juszczyk over what happened last week with some of the media members?
I'm sure there are some people. I mean, for those that don't know, what he was like tweeting out stuff about a specific reporter, Grant Cohn. I thought it was a bad look for Kyle Juszczyk to tweet it out. And again, this goes back to this team feels so worried about everything that's not game day related. And I think that's the bigger sentiment for me.
So
money and contracts and status and who's playing and who's not playing and what kind of scheme we're running and, you know, adjustments. It's like, just freaking play football. We just play football.
Well, they are playing football. They're not playing good football. Let's go to my main man, David Frisno. David Frisno, there would be no Ayuk slander this week, buddy. Huh, Dave? I love you, man. I love you.
I love you, Dave. Hey,
I
love you too, bro. I love all y'all, man. Hey, you started the morning off saying you want a grown folk conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm calling. You know. So, you know, you guys did. I've been listening all morning. You guys kept planting little nuggets on why you should blame Kyle, but you prefaced your whole statement. We ain't blaming Kyle today. But it starts at the top. Look at what Lenore said after the game. You hear what he said? He said the Cardinals got lucky. That's that head coach. That's that deflecting attitude this team has. And that's the weird thing that's going on. There's no accountability. There's no leadership. And you're going to say Christian McCaffrey? I don't want to hear nothing about no Christian McCaffrey. The Colts yesterday, who were out Jonathan Taylor,
yeah.
their best offensive player, who's also a running back, had freaking Joe Flacco and put up 36 points.
Mm.
Don't give me freaking CMC didn't play. I don't want to hear CMC or Greenlaw. This team has more than enough talent to overcompensate those two losses.
You don't think that Greenlaw, let me just stop you. Like, you don't think clearly, I don't even know what player is going to be returning because he's coming off an Achilles. They desperately miss that other linebacker alongside Fred Warner. I would disagree with you. I think that they miss his intensity, his soul, his passion, and just his playmaking.
No, come on, bro. Obviously, we miss him. What I'm saying is we don't miss him to the point where we're blowing a 10-point lead to the
Cardinals. That I agree with.
I mean, at some point in time, I mean, bro, how many 10-point leads you going to blow, Kyle? I mean, and you guys, all the points that have been said, you know, and hold on. And it's like, at some point in time, bro, you got everybody you wanted. You want a Debo page. You got him. You got you page. You want a Kittle. You want a Juice. You want all these players. You got everybody you want. Yeah, I know you're missing CMC, but come on. The adjustments ain't there. The offense is stale. I mean, okay, you motion, you check. Okay, that was cool in 2019. We need some new juice, some new flow, some speed, some
literally,
some
new they average. Hey, Dave, they averaged 30 points a game last year. They broke franchise records last season. All right, and now all of a sudden the offense, come on, man. We can't say it's been stale since 2019. That's inaccurate,
yeah,
Dave.
I would say
that's
it's been
inaccurate.
Stale this year.
That's inaccurate, though. But to say it's been since 2019,
no, that's not
inaccurate.
Fair. No,
that's not fair.
Fair.
Since Brock Purdy's been playing quarterback, they've averaged 30 points a game.
I believe Brock Purdy has, for points per game for an offense, 29 points per game, which is the highest or second highest all-time any quarterback with a minimum of 30 starts.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not saying that it's stale. They literally broke franchise records last season. By the way,
but this year it doesn't look the same.
No, it doesn't look the same at all. You're 9-22 in a red zone. 9-22 in the red zone. That's not
is
good.
Is it just CMC?
It's a factor. It's a huge factor with CMC. He's the offensive player of the year for a reason.
But here's the thing. Like, this is where I have a hard time saying that it's just CMC. Not just, but Jordan Mason's still
that.
Really good.
No, I'm not saying that at all, but it's obviously the factor where defenses, they see number 23, and they're like, man, we got to figure out where McCaffrey is. And he opens up so much for anybody else. I don't know if they respect Mason yet in a passing game like that.
Well, it's one-on-one as opposed to we have to double.
Right.
Which opens up the whole field.
This article Michael Silver wrote, he's talking to Charvarius Ward. And they're talking about the fourth down play to Marvin Harrison Jr. where they run a blitz. Leonard Floyd comes in free. Kyler Murray makes a hell of a throw to Marvin Harrison Jr. Ward, who was occupied in coverage elsewhere, didn't see the fourth down completion. However, he took himself to task for other unspecified mistakes. I feel like I'm playing some of the worst ball of my career, 7-year vet, Ward said. At one point, referring to the Niners' comprehensive failure to adhere to the standard that carried them to 4 NFC Championship game appearances, Ward said, yeah, I know exactly what the problem is. When Silver asked him to elaborate, he started to answer, but then thought better of it. Ward said, I know exactly what it is, but I don't want to say.
What does that mean?
Well, we've heard from Lenore and Travis Ward this season that the Minnesota game, for example. Justin Jefferson, 97-yard touchdown. George Odom playing press man. Tick Brown over the top. Now, I don't know how many snaps George Odom has had since that play, but I guarantee you it hasn't been more than 20. On the defensive side of the football. Maybe special teams, but defensively, I don't know how many snaps George Odom has gotten after that 97-yard touchdown. However, Diablo and Lenore was like, ball, we have Baldion and Lenore for Lenore. They wanted to shadow Justin Jefferson. Travis Ward's second team all pro. He wants to shadow the best. Diablo and Lenore has that dog in him. He wants to shadow the best. So they're not being, I've seen too many times Isaac Yadam, he's covering Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, he made a nice breakup on third down.
Yeah, he had a nice play. But at the same time, I think what Charvarius Ward is referring to is saying, yeah, I don't know if Sorensen's putting us in the right position to succeed. Because you got to remember something about Steve Wilkes. He was a secondary guy, and he got the best out of those guys last year.
This is smelling exactly like the Mike Nolan era. So, like, Mike Nolan always had the excuse of, oh, it's my OC. I have one good OC in North Turner, and then it was just a revolving door of crap at OC, right? Like, that's what did in Mike Nolan. Would you agree?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
I mean.
What, is that what's going to do in Kyle Shanahan?
No, the DC?
I
don't think Shanahan's going anywhere. I'm just going to say that.
Monte, this is a lot of talk.
He just signed a contract extension last year. They're going to fire Shanahan?
We're going to move off of Shanahan?
These
are the seeds of unplanting.
Man. Oh, boy. All right.
Are guys happy?
Well, obviously he's not happy with the D.C. Not happy with the D.C.
Well, that falls that's on what somebody's shoulders.
Steve Wilkes, half the defense want to see Wilkes gone. The secondary seems like they love Steve Wilkes because he's a secondary guy.
And we're out there in training camp. I'm sort of built for this.
Hey, and we're out there training camp. One of the biggest observations I had was like, wow, look how close Wilkes is to Ward, Eleanor, and whoever else was playing safety at the time.
But here's
I'm just saying.
If the offense isn't looking great in the red zone, okay, that's on the head coach. If the DC back-to-back years has been the wrong hire, that is also on the coach. So I'm not saying I'm firing him. I'm saying like, well, that's on him.
Well, the offense is off to a slow start. There's no doubt about that.
I've been defending him until I'm blue in the face, but you can't have premium paid players across the board, and every week multiple guys are underperforming, and the team is turning the ball over.
Well, it feels like most of them are happening on defensive side of the football. So,
three
I don't know what it is.
Yesterday.
It was bad. Very bad. Quarterback did not play well. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the Rose, better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Safeway. Oh, we got some heavy hitters. Cole has the biggest problems he's identified with the 49ers. I want to hear from him. We got Damon in the city. Brian in Palo Alto. What the hell is he going to say? You know you want to stick around for him.
I'm optimistic, Bonte.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's optimistic. Not from his Twitter account yesterday. I saw your tweets. We got my boy Oreo Cookie. Oh, man, we got a lot. We got a lot going on here on the roast on a Monday morning. All brought to you by Safeway.
It's
So the Niners add to their lead with Wisnowski's first career field goal.
They'll work on that stuff right away with kickers. They're almost independent contractors, so we'll get them in as fast as possible and get that best guy we can, and I'm sure it'll have to be for a few weeks, you know, whatever. I'm not sure, but I know they told me a high ankle, and that's never soon.
All right. Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast with Bonte and Shaq.
That's Wisnowski. That's Shanahan. That's Kevin Burke. Not Kevin Burkhardt. Joe Davis. Is Kevin Burkhardt? Who's doing baseball?
Joe Davis is doing baseball.
Oh, that's right. Joe
Jason
Davis.
Benetti, I got to mix up. Was yeah. filling in for Joe
yeah,
Davis.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was with Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen, I miss him. He was on fire in that Commanders-Browns game. Greg Olsen's the best. He might be the best in the business. Him and Troy Aikman, right up there. Now, Brady's getting better. He got a little looser yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Look. Oh, I'm not mad at the excitement.
No, I thought Brady was awesome, except for one thing.
What?
He said San Fran three times.
Oh, well, yeah, I know.
And, it's like, come on, Brady. You're from San Mateo,
well,
dog.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's...
Figure it out.
He's in private school sector, man. I mean, come on.
What does
man.
That have to do with anything?
He wasn't like he was walking up the third Newcomb. He wasn't like he was walking through Petrillo.
The Bologna's like are through field born and raised in San Bruno, and they know San Fran's a no-no, and Frisco's okay.
Well, you know, this is Brady, man. He ain't been here in a long time.
I was going to say, he's probably lived on the East Coast longer than he's lived on the West Coast. Yep. All time, right?
Well, there's no question.
Yeah. So there you go.
There's no question.
So,
but still, he should know better, because his dad still lives there.
Mooney Ward did call out Sorensen after the Vikings game as well. So there's something going on with this defense coordinator.
I'm so tired of hearing everyone call out
coaches.
Well,
that's what they do.
They need to is the coach part of it?
Yeah, but nobody was tired of it last year. We just let Wilkes die. Let him die. Well, now, put his head on a spike in front of everybody like his name was Ned Stark.
That's a little graphic, but I would say
a great reference. I'll give you a four for that.
Come on, give me that one. I'm on fire today, Spadone. I'm made for days like this.
But okay, so here's
grown folks conversation today. No kiddie table stuff. We ain't fighting over tablecloths or anything like that.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Wilkes was taken from the outside. Like, they could have searched anywhere they wanted, and they hand-selected Sorensen. So, to me, like, all right, you guys want to make a big deal about Wilkes last year? I'll give you a pass.
Right.
The second year in a row?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, all right, no. I don't want to hear excuses. Just my particular, like, feeling. I don't want to hear excuses. I think I overrated the roster. I think I look at this roster, they look slower and older. I think they have deep personnel issues on defense that they're not going to be able to overcome. And then I look at the offense looking very predictable at times, though still putting up big yardage. They're turning the ball over.
All day long.
And they're not efficient in the red zone.
They're not sick.
And the quarterback is turning it over. Like, I love Purdy, and I've been in love with Purdy, but he's not playing a brand of efficient football that is winning football. You cannot turn it over multiple times in crucial situations, and you cannot be inefficient in the red zone.
Nine of 22 in the red zone so far this season. 1 of 6 yesterday in a red zone. We're going to get to lines in just a second here. Tomorrow's your chance to have breakfast with Baldy Friday, October 18th, when Baldy is in town for the Niners or Chiefs game. What will the Niners record be by that time? Will it be 2-4? Will it be 3-3? We shall see. Baldy will join us tomorrow at 7:30, right after the conversation, we will be giving out 10 spots. That's right, 10 spots for you and a guest to come in and have breakfast with Baldy. 888-957-9570 is the number. Going to get to the calls. 650 Comcast Business Text Line. Bonte, why are you afraid of the YouTube chat today? Hey, I'm never afraid of the YouTube chat. I love the YouTube chat. It's just out of service today. That is above my pay grade.
Well, it's not us.
That's above my pay grade. John Gannon, coach of the Arizona Cardinals. How'd you shut out the Niners in the second half?
It was good. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know if you do the math what we held them to there, but, you know, obviously them losing their kicker was a component in that game. And I thought Nick and the defensive staff adjusted to that really well in real time, because you got to play differently then. And I thought he did a good job, and they made a lot of plays. That's what it comes down to, guys. We win the game because guys made a bunch of plays all three phases. Point blank, done.
Point blank, done.
He's right.
Point blank, done.
I want to go back to it just for the audience that's just turning in right now. He's talking about, like, adjusting your play calling. They march down. Okay, it's 13-23. They march down 7 straight big-time plays. And then they get to the Arizona 14. You're at the 14.
Yeah.
A 1-yard run for Jordan Mason. Then you get backed up because on 2nd and 9, there's a Jennings false start. So now it's 2nd and 14. Mm. And It's just, I'm sorry. Like, I love Purdy. It was an awful, awful play. No one's open. He's scrambling for his life. Throw it away. You know, negate the loss. You have to understand this is a game management situation. If you're going to be a quote-unquote quarterback, you have to manage all aspects of the game. We don't have our kicker. Yep. We can ill afford to lose yards here. So play call and the quarterback, to me, they go hand in hand on that play. What are you doing? They lose yards, huge yards, third and what, forever. They throw a ball that I don't even know if it's going to get completed. It gets tipped at the line. There were three guys draped over IU.
Hold on. Slow down for a second. Let's not skate over the fact. Second and nine, as you mentioned, Juwan Jennings with the false start. Brock Purdy scrambling around for 11 seconds and not throwing the ball away and then just gets hit for the sack. That is criminal.
No,
like that's not high level quarterbacking. That's not high level quarterbacking when you know Jake Moody's out. Brock Purdy was off his kilter yesterday. The first interception, that play, not identifying cover zero blitz. Brock Purdy was not the best quarterback on the field yesterday, and it's okay to say that.
No, I think it's the worst play of the game. It's even worse than the turnovers.
And that wasn't even the biggest false start in the Bay Area.
Point being is like that whole sequence was horrible, and then on 4th and 23, you throw way short of the sticks. It's like, well, were you just punting there? You might as well just punt it. I mean, I don't know. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. And then obviously Arizona marches on down and scores a touchdown.
I want to go to the Lions. I want to hear from the fans. Cole in San Francisco. Biggest problems with the 49ers. What are they, Cole?
What up, Shasky? What up, Bonte? How y'all doing today?
I'm doing amazing, baby. I'm all smiles.
I got a few folks I want to address. First, Kyle Shanahan, you have been crowned this offensive football genius, and you are damn good. However, show me one offensive football genius whose team scored 0 points in the second half. I don't care about the damn kicker being hurt. Go score touchdowns. What are we doing? We got to finish in the red zone. Show me an offensive genius who's 1 for 6 in the red zone, 9 for 22 on the season. Those are trash numbers. Brandon Ayuk, welcome to the 2024 season, my friend. Thank you. Finally, hello. Welcome to play football. Debo Samuel. Do we need to file a missing persons report? Should we alert the Santa Clara Police Department? Where are you at, bro? Maybe you could talk about where you've been at on your podcast. Give me a damn break. Brock Purdy, you did not play well yesterday, my brother. 19 of 35 is not going to cut it. Accuracy and timing is your calling card. Where the hell was that at? Get rid of the football. Stop running around for 13 seconds. You are not Lamar Jackson, okay? And when it comes to this defense, stop the damn run. This defense is Swiss cheese. We cannot get off the field on third down. 170 yards on the ground to the Cardinals. Are you kidding me? Ooh. James Conner was running all over us. Come on, man. And the real issue here, fellas, the real issue with the San Francisco 49ers, and it's been building, is that the 49ers cannot close games out. Mm. It's gotten to the point where if we're not up 3 scores, the game is in reach. Step on people's necks. Close out games. The Cardinals, come on, man. Clean it up. There's a lot of football left, but there are changes that need to be made. People need to stop pointing the finger outward and start pointing the finger inward. Take some damn accountability and go close out a football game. It's always bang, bang, Niner gang. Let's go.
Hey, that's another candidate for Call of the Week. Call in San Francisco.
In back-to-back years, in the last 2 games against the Cardinals, they played December 17th last year. They've given up over 400 yards in rushing to the Cardinals those 2 games.
In Glendale, Arizona, they ran all over them, but the offense was so dynamic and so potent. Didn't matter.
400 yards.
Well, this is the deal. You're going to have to win some shootouts here because you can't count on this defense to get stops. The goal for the 49ers offensively, it's a tough task. But when you got Debo getting paid all the money he's getting paid, you got Ayuk getting all the money he's getting paid, Trent Williams getting paid all the money he's getting, you know, George Kittle and Juszczyk, who wasn't happy about a restructure, you know what? You may have to go out there and score damn near every possession. You may, and that's a tall ask. But we this is what time it is right now. Until the defense can fix itself offensively, you got to score touchdowns. 9-22 in the red zone is just not good enough. Let's go to BPA. Brian and Palo Alto, what's happening?
Good morning.
What's up,
BPA? I think not Brock's best game, not Kyle's best game from an offensive coaching standpoint, but to me the big story is the defense is broken. And you have a coaching problem, you have a scheme problem, and they're both, I mean, you almost have to fix both of them, but it's Yeah, Sorensen was a very, very poor decision on Cal's part to make defensive coordinator. And there's no one to blame but himself. And these are the kind of things that, you know, he's not going to get fired now or this year or probably in the next 2 years. But what sinks a coach is when you make bad decisions and you don't take accountability for them. That's what happened to Belichick in New England. And Kyle's starting to show that a lot more, where he's just not willing to own his mistakes and decisions because he doesn't want to eat it from a public perception standpoint. And it's a bad trend, and I think it's filtering through the locker room. I don't see a team showing a lot of accountability out there, and that's
BPA. I'll let you finish one second. I'm gonna let you finish, but like when I look at this year, just this year, Robert Saleh, they outcoached. Who else?
Draw, man.
No, yeah. I mean, one thing that you always felt with the Niners and with Kyle is that we have a coaching advantage, and I don't feel that's the case anymore. I do feel like Kyle's still very good. Just defensively, they are. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
They have no disguise, no variation. If Kyle were to be objective and look at the film for that defense, he would say, I could slice and dice this all day and put it 50 points with two hands behind my back against that defense. And, like, you can't run a wide nine when you don't have good inside defensive linemen or linebackers. You can't do it.
What about the offense scoring only 16, though?
Yeah, I know that. I get it. But, like, the offense will get it together. Yes, it hurts not having McCaffrey, but you're not a championship-contending team if you don't have a defense.
Yes, true.
I agree. And they don't have a defense. Yeah, watch the end of that Green Bay game, and that defensive coordinator is bawling out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, disguise, coverage, blitzing, they showing got him from all college. Sorts of different
yeah.
looks.
Yeah.
And Sorensen is just – it's almost like a – like. AI-generated coach, right? Like, he's just sitting. It's like, okay, yeah, run our wide nine, our Seahawks cover three, and just toss it out there. And it's just, it's very easy to scheme against. And I think we're seeing it happen. It's just bad coaching.
There's no doubt.
Made a bad decision.
Bad decision. I'm with you on Sorensen in defense. I know the offense scores 16 points. I have a lot more confidence in Brock Purdy and Shanahan getting the offense together and getting it fixed. I do have confidence in the offense. I do. Defensively, outside of Fred, like Devondre Campbell, I'm going to say this again. I don't want to be too hard on him. But even now, he may not even be on this team.
But you cannot tell me with a straight face he's better than Bethune and Jalen.
I'm just telling you. He may not even be on his team at the end of the month.
And he's got sick Deons on,
too. I don't care what he looks like.
No, I know.
You play well. You look good. You look good. We've all been around those players growing up.
Yeah.
Guys wear the sleeve. They got the good cleats. Got the visor on. They look saucy, right? And they can't play worth a damn. Well, that's where Devondre Campbell is right now. He doesn't fit this scheme. And it's a reason why Green Bay, who are a Super Bowl contender, said, Devondre Campbell, you can walk. We don't give a damn about you walking out of this system. And it wasn't, to me, it didn't start off right with Devondre Campbell because he took a shot at Green Bay immediately the day he signed with the 49ers.
And when you take shots like that
at another team and you play like you are, you know what? He may be cut in a month. He may be cut. Now, I know we're trying to get the Shanahan conference call. He's going to be on a conference call at about 8:45 addressing the media here. Maybe we'll flip sound here. So
the bigger issue to me is I'm not going to use the M word, which is mutiny, but it feels like there is something brewing. And when it comes to this roster, there's just something brewing. And here's what I would say is that when you pay this many guys the money that they've paid, I'm talking premium players, where's the leadership and accountability? I don't want to hear about schemes. I don't want to hear about injuries. I don't want to hear about, you know, I need to do better, blah, blah, blah. Just like, I'm tired of not seeing and hearing accountability from the top paid players.
That's what I'm saying.
Also rolls over to the head coach. Because I look at the head coach and I go, when you enable the players to be in full control at every single turn, look what you've created. And right now, their culture, if you're asking me straight up, feels like it's taking a huge hit.
Well, when you allow the players to throw a coach under the bus like they did last season, whether or not we thought the coach was good or not, that rears its ugly head. Because now the players feel like they could do anything they damn want. And there's no policing. You think Belichick's letting guys destroy his coordinators?
No.
You think Andy Reid is letting guys destroy his coordinators? And they tried to destroy Eric Bieniemy, but Andy Reid had his back.
Yeah.
He policed that stuff. And then when it was time to walk, hey, Eric Bieniemy, it's probably not the best fit for you. Let's move on. It's run its course. But great coaches, McVay, you think people are ripping Shula or Raheem Morris when he was there or whoever else was there? It's not happening.
But, you know, the point about Green Bay that Brian Impellato was making, and I talked to you about, like, they hired a coordinator who was the Boston College head coach. Now, he got fired from that job.
Yep.
They brought someone in from the outside, had very little NFL experience, and they went out on a limb. The guy they fired was LaFleur's good friend. Yep. I mean, LaFleur vouched for him and vouched for him and vouched for him. Next thing you know, he had to get rid of him, and he's forced to hire from outside. The Niners went insular with this hire. They tried to go outside last year. Everybody revolted. The coach didn't even have enough credibility and backbone to stick up for the hire that they made.
Right.
I,
you know what?
I don't know, man. The leadership is lacking. I'm really frustrated with the leadership.
The leadership and the personnel's not as good.
No, but it starts with the coach.
But you know what, though? And I said this in real time about the defense last year. It wasn't as bad as everybody made it out to be. It wasn't as bad. Like, I look at that Minnesota game. We were so fixated to cover zero blitz with the worst calls before halftime. You don't do that. I get that. But they gave up 6 points in the second half. The quarterback threw two interceptions. I don't want to hear about concussions because he was on the football field. He shouldn't have been on the football field, but he was on the football field. And the facts are he threw two interceptions in the fourth quarter. The defense in that Cincinnati game, a week after, short week, they looked slow. Gave up 17 points. Joe Burrow looked like the greatest thing ever, right, at quarterback. They shut them out in the second half, and they were driving. In the third quarter, and they were driving. And it was Brock Purdy who threw that egregious interception right before the end of the third quarter. Cincinnati didn't score. It's still 17-10. What did Brock Purdy do? He threw another interception. What I'm saying is it wasn't as bad as everybody made out to seem. And then in the Super Bowl, I know who the better coach was on the field. Wilkes was better than Shanahan that day.
But I also now, in retrospect, am looking and I'm saying, wow, man, no Dre Greenlaw is a way bigger loss than I thought. And no Armstead on this team. Well, no Chase Young on this team. And I think those guys are better than the guys that are, you know, playing right now.
Better. Well, I don't know what Armstead's doing in Jacksonville. But I'm just saying,
like, last year, the personnel was better. I agree that the scheme isn't great. But I think the personnel was better last year. But I'm ready to say Gibson was better than some of these guys last year.
Tashaun Gibson had a horrible end of the year. Tashaun Gibson was better. He was better. Right now, you don't have good cover safeties.
But here's the other part that I feel like we're tap-toeing around. There is a part of me that is fearful that we've reached kind of like after about a year and a half with Jimmy, after 2019, it did feel like the offense got so predictable and everyone knew where they wanted to throw on the field. And it feels right now, Flores put out a game plan that everyone's trying to mimic. And even though they had great numbers last week, the efficiency isn't where it needs to be. They're holding the ball way more than I like. The timing and the rhythm is a tick off. The offense equally hasn't looked as – it just hasn't looked the same. There's been moments and drives, and they still put up points.
Well, we know why,
but
though.
It's just the totality of the offense don't look right.
Well, that's this season, right? Because you don't have Christian McCaffrey.
I'm saying this year, yeah.
You don't have Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey has not played a snap this year, and he may not play a snap this season. Both Achilles are hurting from Christian McCaffrey. So you don't have Christian McCaffrey, so of course it's going to look a little different. You don't have CMC, who is the offensive player of the year.
Best player.
And may have been MVP of the league.
Yeah, best player.
All right? So, you don't have Christian McCaffrey. You have a hold-in with Brandon Ayuk, which disrupts all the timing in the world, right? You've already had Debo miss a game.
Yeah.
Kittle missed a game. He already missed a game.
Kittle don't look physically all right. He looks like he's already laboring this year.
Well, I mean... Yeah, they're solid. He's okay yesterday.
Well, he had a big drop,
but he did have a big drop, but he was okay yesterday. I'm going to focus on some positives.
He does look a little compromised.
So, of course, the offense isn't going to look the same.
Juwan Jennings looks like he broke his hand or his finger or something.
But you're getting a great year from Juwan Jennings.
No doubt.
So it's hard for me to look at the offense and say, boy, they look stale when they just averaged 30 points a game last season. But no, I'm saying overall. Yesterday, the offense was bad.
This year, they don't look right.
They don't look right. But all those components, of course, they're not going to look right. You don't have CMC. You don't have Brandon Ayuk in shape. Debo's hurt.
Trent Williams is holding out of training camp.
Yeah, you got a new right guard.
Colt McKivitz is cutting his teeth.
You know?
He is the offensive play caller. So when they fall short on offense, I think even more should rain down on them.
Well, you know what? How many games has the special teams lost?
Yesterday, are you blaming the special teams? They got a touchdown.
I asked the question, how many games has the special teams cost this team this season?
I'd say at least one, if not two.
Minnesota got a block punt.
But they were going to get blown out by Minnesota. That's where I disagree with people.
They got a block punt against Minnesota.
And
bad.
The Rams did a fake punt. Like,
right. And then you had the big kickoff punt return against the L.A. Rams. So, and then you had the missed field goal against the L.A. Rams. Yeah, so special teams hasn't been great. But I'm with you here where something is off with this football team.
That's all.
And I've been saying that too. But I'm not going to go to the point where, like, we got to think about a coaching change?
No, I'm not.
After
they have
four NFC championship appearances. There's no doubt. But I'm going to keep my cool because I've seen this team get out to slow starts under Kyle Shanahan. They have got off to slow starts.
The Purdy-Shanahan dynamic, it just looks stale. He's holding the ball. The last couple of weeks,
right now. They just broke franchise records last year.
Why did the Rams and Arizona, two teams in your division who have seen you multiple times and seen Purdy multiple times, why did they have the magic elixir to just completely neutralize you in the second half, offensively?
Offensively, I thought they played well against the L.A. Rams.
In the second half?
Purdy missed throws. That's not Purdy. He missed Brandon Ayuk wide open.
Yeah, I think it goes
wide open.
Purdy and Shanahan.
You had the big, you had the big drop with Ronnie Bell.
Yeah.
The big drop with Ronnie Bell, which would have won the game. It would have won the game had Ronnie Bell caught that football.
And he also threw the big interception late against New England, which was like, what are you doing?
They won that football game.
Purdy's been great this year.
No, he hasn't been great.
Really good in the Rams game until the fourth quarter and in the late third quarter.
Injury update for Kyle Shanahan just now with his presser. More tests now being done on Moody. On Jake Moody and Talanoa Hufanga. We'll have more info on the injuries. And Jacob Cowling is day to day with the shoulder injury. And Ricky Pearsall is continuing his rehab this week. That is an injury update from Kyle Shanahan.
Another update too. They are bringing in four kickers. You did not give the name, so Kyle Shanahan on his conference call weekly, doing it early because it's Thursday Night Football. Yeah. So bringing in four kickers to try out today.
Right, I'm sure the kid from Cal is one of them in the vans.
Daniel?
Daniel Villasenor.
There you go.
What was that?
Daniel Villasenor, the sophomore engineering major who didn't know what that means.
$100,000 on College Game Day. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, College Game Day at Berkeley is a huge success. They do it every single week. They bring in some student to kick for $75,000, $100,000, and Daniel made it.
All right, let's go to the lines. Mystic in San Francisco. Mystic, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday. This is really interesting. I know that we're talking a lot about the coaches, but I do think to a degree the coaches are somewhat hamstrung because it's about the personnel, really. And this is Shanahan and them's fault. I mean, they did pigeonhole themselves with their personnel. For example, you got Debo and Ayuk, but you don't really have any great boundary threats. I mean, probably Ayuk and probably CMC are your best boundary guys, and of course CMC is not playing. So now you're seeing everybody do what we thought they would do. Flood the middle of the fields, take away those quick routes that operate in the middle of the field, and force Purdy to beat you on the boundary and down the field. And he's proving he's having a hard time doing that. That's a personnel issue. There's not really a scheme adjustment you can make there. And I also think that's the problem you're having in the red zone. You need a quarterback who can throw tight window throws because everything shrinks in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have CMC to counterbalance that, or you don't have a Roger Craig, a Ricky Waters, a Marcus Allen, you're going to have trouble down there. So I think that's what we're seeing, and that's what we're running up against. And this does fall on Shanahan because Shanahan is the one who has insisted that Brock Purdy is good enough. Shanahan is the one that insisted that the scheme doesn't need to change on defense or on offense. And I think that's a big problem for you guys, ultimately.
Well, let's be clear about something. Good call, Mystic. You're not going to just flip the scheme middle of the season. All right? You're not going to just all of a sudden say, you know what, the hell with the scheme. You may simplify some things, but the principles are going to stick the same. Your fundamentals are going to stay the same. You're not going to just all of a sudden, hey, we're going 5-wide. Let's throw the ball all over the place. We're going to become Texas Tech. Let's throw the ball. No, you're not going to do that midway through the year. You're going to stick to what's gotten you here. You're going to stick to what's made you successful as an organization under Kyle Shanahan. You're going to run the damn football. You're going to play balanced football. You're going to try to get the 30 carries. You're going to try to win the football game like that.
But I would say that I don't think they ran it well enough. They ran it, committed to the run enough yesterday.
Right. But there's only
Mason had the big fumble.
Mason had the big fumble.
What, he had 14 carries?
Yeah, no doubt.
I think he should be in closer to 20.
Well, maybe, but at the same time, everybody's always bitching and moaning about carries, right? Well, we don't want to wear them down. Don't want to wear them down. Well, we can't have it both ways.
Well, I told you last week, I personally don't care about wearing him down. I think it's just you got to win games.
Well, that's what I said about McCaffrey last year.
You were a juggernaut last year.
But so what? You got to win games.
And you don't have the money invested in Mason that you did CMC.
Grindo got 5 carries. Mason had 14 for 89.
Grindo actually had a couple of nice carries yesterday.
Overall, the Niners 26
carries. Didn't love him pulling the ball out of the end zone late in the game.
Overall, Niners had 26 carries for 153 yards, 6 yards a pop. Now, the crazy thing is on Thursday, you're going up against a defense and Mike McDonald. And look, Daniel Jones had his way yesterday. But Mike McDonald also undressed Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy Christmas Day with the Baltimore Ravens. But again, he doesn't have that same personnel.
Kyle Hamilton.
But his scheme really befuddled the 49ers on Christmas night at Levi Stadium when he was with the Baltimore Ravens. Something to account for there on Thursday. Let's go to Jaime. Jaime in San Carlos. What's up, Jaime?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, baby?
Hey, I was there yesterday. Man, it was hot. we sat right in the sun, Levi Stadium Club, and then we actually headed inside because it was just so hot. But they need to get rid of Sorensen and put Brandon Staley in there. They have a major issue, and all these guys, I don't know if you guys heard, Bosa said that every single game that they've lost, they've gone in with a good plan and they failed to do adjustments when they run different schemes. That's a major red flag to me. And honestly, to me, I think...
Oh, man, call us back, Jaime. Call us back, because I think you were cooking on something. Let's go to Damon in the city. Damon, what's happening?
What's up, guys, man? Bad loss, bad loss. I think that it's coming down to a kind of a coaching issue here. I mean, we've got players. We've got the best of players, and we just keep coming up short. I think that it's coming down to a coaching issue here. I see that it looks kind of like that the league has made adjustments to us because we've been the standard. We've been the guys to beat. And so the league has made the adjustments to us, and, you know, it's shifted, and we haven't made that corresponding adjustment that's been made to us.
Damon, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Because I'm hearing a lot about coaching. Yeah. I'm hearing a lot about coaching. What is the adjustment with the coaching? What is the solution?
I think Shanahan might be a little bit stubborn. I think he's kind of stuck in his ways, and I feel that he's stuck in his ways to the point where he's going to force something to work. You know, instead of, you know, kind of making some of the adjustments that he needs. I just don't feel good about the coaching. I don't feel good about the scheme that's going on. And, you know, we say a lot about these players that, you know, are coming in. Like, let's say Leonard Floyd, I heard mentioned earlier that, you know, Leonard Floyd, you know, he's been pretty quiet. But it's, you know, that's kind of been the case with a